From NPR and the Futuro Media Group, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. This week, a special program about New Mexico, where we hear
about heroin run amok in the city of your veins until it left you on the corner broke and wishing on a star.
Far from New Mexico has the highest rate of heroin addiction and drug overdoses in the nation. Latinos and Native Americans are the hardest hit.
There's now the epidemic of drug addiction, primarily from prescription drugs. At this point, it's like a wildfire out of control.
But now, traditional cultural practices are offering addicts a new path to healing.
When I came out of there, it was like my mother smiling at me, like when I was first born. All this poison was just blown away out of my body.
Some say la cultura cura. Culture can cure addiction. All this and more coming up on this special edition of Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Quédense con nosotros. Stay with us.
Nunca se cansó.
It's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. And on our program today, we zero in on New Mexico, the so-called land of enchantment. But in fact, the state of New Mexico also has the highest rate of drug-related deaths in the nation. Poor and isolated Hispanic and Native American communities have borne the brunt of this devastation. In Albuquerque's historically Latino South Valley neighborhood, black tar heroin has plagued families for generations. And prescription opiates have become an even bigger problem. But two community groups in the Valley are tapping into centuries-old cultural practices to help addicts find a new path to recovery. They start with one core value, respect.
My name is Tomas Martinez. I'm 55 now. I was 12 years old when I started using heroin.
Tomas grew up in the South Valley and remembers what he calls the brown lady taking over his barrio. It was the late 1960s and early 70s, the height of the Chicano movement.
I really believe that at that time, you know what, the government infested us. It was like a hurricane when they came in here. The heroin came in like a hurricane. You know what I mean, all of a sudden, boom, everybody was strung out. You know what I mean? And I believe that they done it to probably stop the movement. You know what I mean?
Tomas was addicted for 37 years. His face shows it. He has a scar running down the middle of his nose and worn, jagged features, telltale signs of his history as a drug dealer and a gang member who spent years in prison. Tomas tried everything to get clean. Then, 7 years ago, he found La Placita Institute and its focus on healing through traditional culture.
What really helped me and saved me is when I went into that sweat lodge for the first time. When I came out of there, it was like my mother smiling at me. You know what I mean? Like when I was first born. All this dirt and all this evilness that I've had in my body, all this poison was just blown away out of my body. You know what I mean? And it changed me completely.
Now, instead of dealing to people, Tomas is helping them heal. On a cool December night, a handful of people gather outside La Placita for the weekly sweat lodge. Two young men from the Lakota tribe offer an honor song around a fire. You can just see the stars beyond the lights of Albuquerque.
This is the womb of our mother. This is where it all goes down right here. So this is the medicine that permeates everything that we do in the organization.
Albino Garcia is La Placita's executive director. Like Tomas, Albino started his own journey to sobriety after a sweat lodge where he reconnected to his indigenous roots. That's the approach he uses here.
And I bring little Chicano bros over here, and they hear this native music and these native rituals. They may not have ever heard that language, but they sure feel it. And it transcends skin color. It transcends, you know, race and gender and age and anything. And we become one. That's the power.
One of those little Chicano bros is Jesus Moya. He's as different from Tomas as he can be, a soft-spoken 19-year-old with innocent brown eyes. Jesus first tried heroin at 15. The only reason he got clean was because he was jailed for assault and battery.
If it wasn't me getting arrested and that happening, I probably, who knows where I'd be, you know? Like, I had no intentions of quitting. It wasn't even in the back of my mind of quitting.
Every week, Jesus comes to La Placita's youth support group, Teenagers Making a Change. Albino and Tomas keep tabs on him to make sure he gets his high school diploma. It's also tough love. Albino says if he's caught using, he has to leave.
We have a concept here. It's a Lakota belief here. We consider ourselves Teoshpae, which means extended family. So that's what makes us a little bit different. We're not agency here. Our license is our life experience. So we're not licensed by the state. You know, when you are, you can't hug this guy. When I talk to him, I use street language. Game knows game. So we can be straight with each other.
At the teen support group, Tomas starts off with a sage smudge.
Then we clean our hands, cleanse our hands. We go to our mind to clear our mind. We go to our eyes to see clearly. We go to our mouth to speak the truth. We go to our ears to hear clearly. And we go to our heart for love.
And he lays out the guidelines.
Respect, treat others how you want to be treated. No rata, what's said here stays here. Ganas, everybody puts in work. Neutral turf, all barrios are welcome. Be sober, don't come here high or using anything. Commitment, be down for your word.
Albino and Tomas have seen many kids overdose over the years and more sent to prison. There are also thousands out there who are living good, productive lives. But it's not easy in New Mexico. The state has the largest wealth disparity in the nation and huge high school dropout rates. All that correlates with drug use, says Dr. Alfredo Vigil, the former state secretary of health.
Our dropout rate here in New Mexico is basically 50% for Hispano kids. So we lose half our kids. It's that high-risk group that we're seeing an epidemic, and that is the proper term. I'm not exaggerating or being dramatic. There's now the epidemic of drug addiction, primarily from prescription drugs. At this point, it's like a wildfire out of control.
That's what Judge John Julio Romero Jr. sees firsthand with young people in court. Surprisingly, the judge is a regular visitor to La Placita, and he chokes up when he describes the problem. Fathers who have skipped out, mothers who are strung out, and kids who believe there's no way out.
So they make choices because they're hopeless, because they don't think that there's any opportunity to live beyond tomorrow. Most of them really have that sense of, ¿para qué? Why do I think about tomorrow? It's about the moment. So if I get high and I feel good and I croak, it was meant to be, I guess.
And yet, there's another force that predates these tragedies, the centuries-old healing traditions of the people who have lived in the South Valley for generations. And that's the mantra of La Placita, la cultura cura, culture cures. But what exactly does that look like? Curanderas, or healers, at La Placita use traditional techniques from Mexico, Central and South America to treat people free of charge. Laura Alonso de Franklin is a clinical social worker. She practices acupuncture along the ear, limpias, or energy cleansings, pláticas, or heart-to-heart talks, and sobadas, a form of deep massage. But the primary force is respeto, respect.
Because we don't see them as an addict. We see them as spirits and souls. We don't give up on them. We're not treating the diagnosis. We're not treating the addiction. Because there's a reason why they're addicted. And it starts way desde chiquitos. There's something broken. There's something fragmented inside of them. And so that's what we work with.
Even the toughest addicts are touched. Albino remembers one session when some gangbangers allowed the curanderas to work on their knife scars and bullet wounds.
By the time the medicine was done, some of them were actually laying in the fetal position, and some with very silent, private tears rolling down their eyes, keeping their heads away from the other homies.
The idea of respeto is gaining traction elsewhere in the South Valley. Just down the road from La Placita is Casa de Salud, House of Health. It's a busy community health clinic that also distributes Suboxone, a drug to help wean addicts off opiates and heroin. But in order to get the drug, clients here must also take part in a program called Freedom to Heal.
This is about going to the depths of your soul.
In a room with an improvised altar full of candles and rosemary, nurse practitioner Lorraine Cordova leads clients through a meditation. She sees many different people in this room: white, Latino, young, middle-aged, homeless, lawyers, athletes. It's an indication of how prescription opiate addiction has skyrocketed and is sweeping through many different communities. Addicts getting Suboxone here also get Reiki, Limpias, and AccuDetox, a form of acupuncture on 5 points along the ear. Cordova says the most important aspect of all this work, though, is love.
It is acceptance. It is respect, dignity. 99% of the people that have come in here said they go to the hospital and they're treated like crap. They're last on the list. There's just no respect.
And that's what Stanley Archunde needed most.
Growing up in the South Valley, I seen lots of heroin addicts walking the streets and seen them OD'd in the parks and said, you know, I never want to be like that. Never.
But at 23, Stanley herniated several discs in his back while he was at the park with his daughter. His doctor put him on prescription opiates, and eventually he became addicted. After 20 years, he found Casa de Salud.
In one of our healing circles, it was one of these great ladies here that said, go back to your purest form in life. And I went back to the days of when my grandma would, I'd wake up and she was making tortillas. And I lost my grandma. And she meant the world to me, and it took me back to that spot.
And that was where he wanted to be again in his life.
Because it was so important to me that I give that back to my kids, you know, our heritage. And it's a very spiritual place.
Stanley never moved from prescription opiates to heroin, but many others do. That's because it's cheaper to get heroin than pills on the street when your legal prescription runs out. Today, pills are the leading cause of drug overdose deaths in New Mexico and in the nation. Dr. Vigil, the state's former health secretary, isn't sure what will stem the tide of addiction. But he says if anything can, it's the idea of la cultura cura.
If there's even a 1% chance that we can be cured, then obviously an environment where respect and love are part of the picture enhances the likelihood of being able to achieve that 1%. Just like things can spiral down, things can spiral up.
And that, he says, can help the whole community. But there's a long way to go. On a street in downtown Albuquerque that afternoon, we see a woman who looks Native American passed out on the sidewalk. It's unclear if the problem is alcohol or drugs, and the police aren't sane.
Yeah, she's fine. You can go. Dude, you can go, all right? Yeah, we have. All right?
Nearby, her son, in his teens or 20s, watches with unseeing eyes. He's clearly high or drunk. There are two hospitals close by, but after 10 long minutes, there's still no ambulance in sight.
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. No.
Our story about addiction in New Mexico was produced by Megan Kamerick. Coming up on Latino USA, Angela Garcia grew up around poverty and addiction in Albuquerque's South Valley.
The handing down of addiction has become a way of parents and children relating to each other.
Now a professor, she tells us about her life and her research in the community. That's coming up. No se vayan.
Qué bonitos ojos tienes, me lo comentaste un día. Debajo de esas dos cejas, qué bonitos ojos tienes. Soy esclava a la soledad, pero aún quiero mi libertad. Si dejara mis ojos un momento parpadear. Malagueña salerosa, besar mis labios quisiera, besar mis
Welcome back to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa, and this is a special edition of our program dedicated to New Mexico, where by the numbers, it's the state with the highest percentage of heroin addicts in the country. Angela Garcia grew up in Albuquerque's South Valley. She witnessed firsthand the multi-generational drug addiction that exists there. Garcia is now an assistant professor of anthropology at Stanford University, and her book, The Pastoral Clinic, Addiction and Dispossession Along the Rio Grande, looks at the relationship between poverty, addiction, and the legacy of colonialism in northern New Mexico. Professor Garcia joins us now to talk about her experience and her research from the studios of Youth Radio in Oakland, California. Welcome to Latino USA, Angela.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So, Angela, you are intimately acquainted with the problems of addiction and poverty in parts of New Mexico where the situation is worst. What did you experience as a young person growing up in New Mexico in terms of seeing addiction around you?
Well, I saw it everywhere within my family. My mom grew up with not heroin addicted parents, but parents who were alcoholics and had siblings that ventured into all different kinds of drugs, including heroin. And she tried really hard to keep us away from these influences, which ultimately were our family. We would inevitably be driving down the street and would see my cousin who would be on a corner or my aunt trying to get either their next fix or get money to buy alcohol or something. So I was at once shielded and not. As I grew up, I was very interested in knowing more about why my mom tried so hard in her limited capacity to keep us away, but ultimately was unable to. And my sister is addicted to opiates. I am not, but I have my sister's son living with me in Oakland. It's still very much alive in my home in the Bay Area, too.
In fact, what you've done and what you've uncovered in your research is that the profound significance of the presence of the family is actually one of the things that keeps this cycle of addiction going, handing down yet another tradition, but this is a tradition of addiction, right?
Exactly. And the handing down of addiction has become a way of parents and children relating to each other, sometimes even caring for each other. And I understand this as being built on a history of loss where other forms of inheritance that were central to Hispano families, such as the inheritance of land, those kinds of material properties have been lost over generations. So now really what is inherited for so many families is despair and an addiction to heroin or to some other kind of drug, generally opiates or alcohol. And a lot of providers in the Espanola Valley and in the South Valley talk about addiction as being a problem of colonialism. They point to the loss of land. And now this landscape in the forests and the lands that are no longer theirs, these become places where people get high in, and they feel a tremendous sense of loss.
So what do you think about the approach that we highlighted in the beginning of Latino USA, la cultura cura, mm-hmm. how, you know, traditional cultural practices can have an impact? Do you believe that these traditional healing practices can actually make a difference, not just for an individual, but for a community?
I want to say yes, and I think for some people, absolutely. But for the reality of so many, particularly youth, they've been very removed from the traditions of the land. They're not farmers. They're not agriculturists the way their forebears were. And they have different kinds of dreams. So I think this should absolutely be part of the arsenal of addiction treatment. But there also needs to be a recognition that culture has changed and that people have different desires for their futures. So coupling this with real opportunities for education, better therapeutics for addiction, because we know that there are certain medicines that can really help, but they're generally not available in these populations. They also want access to things that addicts who are from California or New York who go seek recovery in a private clinic in Taos or Santa Fe have. So I think there has to be a kind of way to bring them all together, both the quote-unquote Western medications that help ease the pain of withdrawal, for instance, but also a very concerted effort to draw upon traditions that are centuries old.
And finally, we've got just 1 minute left. Angela, so when you look into the future, what do you see? I mean, do you have a cause for optimism or more pessimism in relation to heroin addiction in New Mexico?
Right now, I'm sad to say more pessimism. I think that we Now we're seeing a generation of kids who have dropped out of school, who are using, who start off with pills, but then move on to heroin because it's cheaper. That said, I think that there's renewed commitment by locals and various communities that really want to do something. The eyes are very open because now it's really personal. It's not like over there. It's in their own homes.
Professor Garcia, thank you so much for joining us on Latino USA.
Thank you.
Angela Garcia is an assistant professor of anthropology at Stanford University. She's the author of The Pastoral Clinic, Addiction and Dispossession Along the Rio Grande. She joined us from the studios of Youth Radio in Oakland, California. And finally, the sounds of New Mexican culture. Carlos Contreras is a spoken word artist in Albuquerque. He teaches writing to local inmates. Most of his students are incarcerated because of issues related to poverty and addiction. Here's an excerpt from one of his poems called Falling Star.
Falling Star, you're an explosion of right went wrong. So daily you write songs, they say, listen, look, watch me. Not with careful eyes, but with ones that care. Poems that talk about a father that was never there. About heroin run amok in the city of your veins until it left you on the corner broke. And wishing on a star. Far from anything you ever considered yourself to be or not to. That is the question left unanswered. You remain afraid to ride it in, and so we go on in a calamitous game of sink or swim as reality has its way of sinking in. I came into work on Monday. You were gone. Had decided to enterprise in the block and get paid instead of educated. And I can't blame you for resorting to the comforts of the only things you know is you. You, the star fading somewhere into the distance like into memories as you watch free cable TV, write your letters, and take up space. Falling star, I only hope you find a place within yourself that helps you to figure out the equation of what was lost and all the things that just don't add up. You, man-made masterpiece, ticking time bomb just waiting to be released, just waiting to bloom.
Carlos Contreras is a spoken word artist in Albuquerque, New Mexico. His poem is entitled Falling Star.
Under a sky of azure, where balmy breezes blow, kissed by the golden sunshine, is Nuevo Mexico.
And for this week, that's Latino USA. If you have any comments or suggestions, call us at 646-571-1228. That's 646-571-1228. Our program is produced by Carolina Gonzalez, Deborah George, Nadia Raymond, Andres Caballero, Lita Hartman, and Michael Jones. We had production help this week from Michael Simon Johnson and Neil Rausch at NPR New York. Latino USA is produced by The Futuro Media Group in Harlem. It was developed at the University of Texas at Austin. I'm executive producer Maria Hinojosa. Join me again next week for another edition of NPR's Latino USA.
Latino USA is funded in part by the Marguerite Casey Foundation, dedicated to achieving a more just and equitable society for all, and the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the Grantham Foundation for the Protection of the Environment, supporting strategic communications and collaboration to address the world's pressing environmental problems. And Lumber Liquidators, hardwood, bamboo, and cork flooring for the home handyman or building professional. More at lumberliquidators.com. And the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, presenting the MacArthur Award for Creative and Effective Institutions. Winners are at macfound.org. This is NPR.